It's a privilege to stand again and just be with you, family of God, just glorifying the name of the Lord with all the good things that He has done in this life. And so it's a privilege for every one of us to just be gathered and just thank the Lord and let the goodness of the Lord shape our lives as we testify to this world, this crooked and fallen world, that there is a true light amongst us, and that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So I think we don't have any notices except that I would just copy what Andrew said this morning. We have our Lord table celebration by next week, so we would want to prepare for that wonderful and gracious time of celebrating. Not only commemorating, but really identifying ourselves, our unity with amongst each other, and our unity with our Lord Jesus Christ. So, but tonight, we'd like to invite everyone to open their Bibles as our call to worship in Psalms 97, beginning verses 10 up until 12. As with Andrew, I forgot to look onto the pages. Forgive me. So Psalms 97, beginning verse 10. O you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of His saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to His holy name. So this comes to us as not only the truth of Jesus Christ coming into our lives, the light that has come into the darkness of this world, but also the light that is in us that we need to live, and that the world would see that this light is really living in us. And in that, we rejoice. We rejoice in the Lord and we give thanks to Him. And with that, I'd like to invite everyone to come to the Lord in a word of prayer. Oh Lord, You are the bright light of our lives. You have caused us to be under Your light, Lord God, when we were in darkness. And You have brought us from darkness into the light of Your Son. You who have given us this identity, Lord, we thank You and we bless Your name. And as a people of God, as a people of the Word, we come to You humbled, Lord, that in of ourselves we cannot really come to know You. And really thank You, Lord, for the goodness that You have done. And so by the light of Your Son and by the light of Your Word, through the work of Your Spirit, we are, Lord, shown this truth. And that truth is in our lives. And as we approach You tonight, may You see Your Son in us, His saving work, His righteousness applied to us by the Spirit. And that so we could approach to Your throne of grace, bold and confident that we would give glory to Your name and just love one another as it pleases Your sight. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand. Let us sing our first song. Trust in God.
Glory.
Please be seated. I'd like us now to open our Bibles in the Gospel book of John, beginning verse 1 up until 14. Our scripture reading for tonight, John chapter 1, verses 1 up until 14. Beginning verse 1, the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That is reminding of us, that is an encouragement for us, that as we go through with the new year, and as we continue on what we've been studying for the previous Sundays in Philippians, that light comes from God, that is a gift from God, and that comes as a person to us in our lives, as in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in light of what we have heard last week, we are called this week to emulate that light and let that life be truth and live in our lives, so that we could have that light shining outward to this broken and corrupted world. And so let us, with that, I would want us to come to a word of prayer again. It's time for our pastoral prayer. Let us again all stand for our second song.
There is the Lord for heaven.
not us, but through Christ in us. And so we come to the Lord now to pray for our offerings. And we come to Him. Lord God, yet not us, but through Christ, we can glory in You. We can give thanks to You. We can bless Your name. And we could give back portion of what You have given us, what have come from You, Lord, out of Your sheer grace and graciousness and the abundance of Your blessing, Lord. Look upon, Lord, this dedication of offering and tithes, Lord, that it may be pleasing to You and that it would be used for the glory of Your name and for the expansion of Your kingdom. Lord, may You bless all those who are led and are tasked, Lord God, to administer these resources, all for the glory and expansion of Your kingdom. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So, let me just put this away. Praise the Lord. We have the privilege to continue tonight and even end today with being gathered and just really giving thanks to the Lord with all the things that He has done in our lives. And so we are continuing our series in Philippians, and we're now in chapter 2, verses 12 up until 18. And isn't it true that as the word or the verses from verses 12 up until 18 is what the world we live in. We live in a society of darkness, and much of really teaching is not really from the word of the Lord. And many amongst us, and many even our loved ones, are being shattered or even like being challenged by this teaching that has been ongoing and around the world. And we are, as a Christian, because of what Christ has done from the verses that comes before our text tonight, we have the encouragement and power and duty and responsibility to really share that light and have that light shine out of our lives, and that people would see that we are truly a follower of Christ. And so let us read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. So beginning verse 12 of chapter 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Thus far, the gracious word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we commit to you the hearing and the preaching of your word tonight. And may your spirit be, Lord God, our teacher tonight. And that may we have, Lord God, that power to understand and to live through it, Lord God, for the glory and praise of your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. So Paul now lifted, as he focused our eyes, as he called us to look and consider and be mindful of the humility of Christ last Sunday, which really, really focuses on the frame of mind of self-sacrifice or self-effacing or self-humbling, self-emptying mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. the humbling of himself that really was the focal point of our study last week. So now Paul is saying that because of Christ's humility, because of his obedience and sacrificial death, now the focus shifts from Christ and then it now shifts to us. And so then he turns to believers and says, because of Christ, or because of what Christ did and what the humility of Christ have done to us, here is how you would live. And so also Philippians chapter 2 would be, I think, the abbreviation of the whole redemptive story that we could read from Genesis to the Revelation. And so we are really blessed to have heard that, and we are now being called by Paul to live that kind of life, to live that kind of life that is according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that we would be witnesses, we would be an encourager, we would be someone that the Lord, that the world look into and really believe that the Lord is really working and really alive in their lives. And so we can say this from verses 12 to 18, because God is already at work in us through the life of Jesus Christ. We can live in this world as shining lights. And so if we look into ourselves with all the struggles that we have, with all the insignificances, with all the inadequacies that we have, with all the struggles and our weaknesses, I suspect that we doubt that shining as lights or shining as the light of the gospel in this world is something that we kind of in passing just entertain in our minds. Or sometimes even as a part or as a member of the church, we have this kind of thought that being a light of this world is only for the pastors or for the elders maybe, or for the leaders of the ministry, or for those people that have been in faith for that long of a time. But it's not. As we can see, Paul begins in verse 12 with a conjunction therefore. And so he was dragging all that has been said, even from chapter 1 up to this point, that therefore my beloved, he called them beloved because they are all children of God and they are all beneficiaries of the cross of Christ or of the gospel of Christ. And so we are called to live this out. And as he said, therefore, because of all these things from chapter 1 up until this time, because of the humility of Christ, because of the encouragement that we were told in chapter 2, verse 1, because of the comfort from the love of God, and because of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, you and I have that confidence to live this life shining for Christ and really being that needed light in this dark and fallen world. So the question is a question of how. How do believers become shining light in this dark and fallen world? So it is a call for everyday ordinary believers to become shining light in this fallen, crooked, and corrupted world. And so we look into verse 12 up until 18. We are provided with the ways that we become shining lights as a testimony of the light of Christ that is in us, as a testimony of that life of Christ in us as well, mentioned in John chapter 1 that we have read. That life shapes us, changes our well-being, and that really attests to the truthfulness and to the life that has been given to us by the Lord. So we think of how do believers become shining light in this dark and fallen world. We can consider three things tonight. I would submit to you. First is shining lights live a lifestyle of obedience. And so shining lights live a lifestyle of obedience. So it is almost a copying of what we have heard from the previous passage that we have heard, that Christ came from this high and glorious status, but he humbled, emptied himself, and even found in a form of a servant, in a form of a man, and the author of life was subjected to death, and he would be crucified on the cross, and that he would save his people on account of that saving work on the cross. And so it is a lifestyle of obedience that we are being asked of tonight. And so Paul says, as you have always obeyed. So this is, he is saying that you have been living according to the word of the Lord. You have been living according to the gospel. And as he have said in chapter 1, that he was confident that he who began a good work in you will finish it in the day of the Lord. And so he is now saying to them that you have been doing this. So now, the word would now with urgency and at the present moment, in my presence or even in my absence, which calls for an obedience that has integrity. That no matter where we are in life, no matter how old, how young you are in faith, or literally how old and young you are in this life, this is a call for every one of us, urgent, now, active, and needs to be done. And so he goes on to say in verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So as Paul calls us to obedience to what Christ has modeled for us from the previous verse, he is calling that we can work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So Paul is saying this two truths that has been really a point of discussion amongst us evangelicals and amongst us Christians. Our responsibility before God, our human ability, and God's power or God's sovereignty. So work out, the command is work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Work out your salvation does not mean that you earn salvation by doing good works. Paul does not mean that you will have salvation or you will attain salvation. And it is not the basis of your salvation. Good works or working out your salvation is not the basis, but it is a fruit. It is the outcome. It is the consequences of what we have seen in Christ Jesus from the previous passage. Work out means not really coming from you inherently, the power and the energy to do it, but as an instrument to live out. So when he says work out your salvation, that is to say you live out your salvation that is already in you. The work that God has already started in you, live in it. Thus Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, that Christ have reconstructed us for good works, the good works that was prepared before even the world was founded. And so when he says to work out your own salvation, he is not saying to work so that you would be saved, but work out your salvation because you are already saved. The word work is different from the word work in the phrase, for it is God who works in you. The word work in the phrase, work out your own salvation, is to live out, while the word work in the phrase, for it is God who works in you, means power, means energy. So there's a differentiation. God is the power behind the work that we could do. God is the energy behind the obedience that we could do. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, we are saved by grace, not by works, but we are saved for good works. As verses 8, 9, and 10 continues. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness that we have we have done. So the word salvation here, I guess, is not really pertaining to the time when the Lord regenerated us and declared that we are justified before Him. I think the word salvation here in context was being pertained by Paul at the present moment or at the present Christian life of the Philippians, which is the sanctification of their lives, which is the forming of Christ in their lives, which is the shaping of Christ's likeness in their lives. And so we can reconcile that the command is to work out your own salvation, to act on it, to live on it, and all throughout your life, you would need to live like Christ. But the power to do so comes from God. The power to do so comes from God. Every gadget that we have, cell phones, laptop, we can only use those if we have plugged them into the power source. If we have those cell phones and anything that we, any appliances that we might have, it would not function if it's not connected or if it doesn't have any power that comes from the source of electricity. So we should not view, we should not look into the phrase, or when Paul says, work out your own salvation, that it is you. It is you who is inherently able, and apart from the grace of God, you can really work out your own salvation and be saved. Let us be reminded that even as the phrase, work out your own salvation, is being used, it is followed with the command, with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling, of course, before, or fear or trembling of the Lord. That is, to us, not a fear of being judged or being a sinner before God, but who is someone who is already justified. So fear now comes to us as an expression of great awe and respect and love for God. That we would work out our own salvation, mindful of the character, of the weightiness of God, of the holiness of God, and with trembling as well. Because Paul knew, if we would read this, that we would, the work out of your salvation would mean that I could work and earn my salvation through my good works, we would really fall into that and sin against God. And so that's why he put in there salvation, or your own salvation, with fear and trembling. And as if it is already enough, he supported it and he immediately followed verse 13, so that we would not think that anything that is ongoing, the ministry that we do, the kindness that we do to our churchmates, our brothers and sisters, the goodness that we do in this life and in this community, inherently comes to us. No, he says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Both to will, the set of our emotions, our intelligence, the whole being of us, the true us, and our ability to act on it. It is God who is the power behind it. And even ended it with, for his good pleasure. Because he knows, when we do good, when we help someone, when we do well in life, we would always say, even the most pious Christian, maybe, would always have that temptation that it is me. It is for my satisfaction, because I am good, because I am this, because I am able to do this. And so Paul is calling us to copy the lifestyle, or copy at least the humility of Christ that we have heard last week, and really have that active obedience, working, growing, personal, and responsible working of obedience in our lives. The desire to obey and the power to obey is from God, not inherently from us. So it is true what Ezekiel 36 says in verse 26, that God gives us a new heart and causes obedience. Until God change the disposition of our hearts. We are living in sin, and our hearts are stones and could not really hear and accept and believe what the gospel is saying to that stone heart. John chapter 15, verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. So this is really a slap in the face. Whenever we think that we could do this because of our own goodness, because we've been in the ministry and we have experienced so much in this life, so that I could live an obedient life and a life that really testify to the humility and obedience of the Lord that is also in us because of his life. But we are reminded, apart from me, you cannot do anything. And just as the song that we have said, yet not I, but the grace of God that is in me. So we ask our hearts, who do we obey in this life? Is it still us? Is it still someone else? Is it an inclination, or it is a looking up into the self, or it is someone else's that we look into and let our life be shaped by such a person or by such a frame of mind? So we are being called to have a lifestyle of obedience to the Lord. It is an attitude towards God that we would live like shining lights in this world. Second, there is a second thing that we could do, or we could live as shining lights. Shining lights live as a lifestyle distinct to the world. This is the attitude of Christ towards sin and the world. Verse 14 says, do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. There is a contrast that Paul is showing us, that everything must be done without grumbling and disputing. This immediately brings us back to Old Testament Israel. Their sin in the wilderness is that they grumble to the Lord, and they are disputing, in essence, to the Lord. They are disputing to Moses, and essentially they're disputing to God, why have you brought us in this wilderness? Do you just would want us to die of hunger? So here we are. We are commanded to do all things without grumbling and disrupting or disputing. We can see that Paul is showing us that there is a stark contrast between a Christian and between someone who is living in this world. In the midst of a crooked world, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, we are living as light shining in the world. So Paul moves from inner faith to visible behavior. It must be bright, light, distinct, not like what the world does and looks like. He described crooked and twisted generation. But we are children of God, without blemish, blameless, and innocent. So we are called into this kind of life, and it is really hard. Sometimes there are compromises that calls us to really just kind of give in a bit to someone who is proclaiming or at least influencing us of teachings that is contrary to the Bible. And because of our fear to offend that person or to create a division between that person, because you would want to reach him for the Lord, you are sometimes, or we are sometimes, compromising on a such. But the Lord is saying that it is our identity that we are a children of God. We are made blameless. We are made innocent. We are made without blemish in the sight of God. And so we have to live that life. We live in a culture fueled by outrage. And so as a Christian, would we ride into that kind of outrage? Road rage is a frequent thing among the streets. I think not only here, but also somewhere else. Complaining spreads faster than gratitude when Christians sounds exactly like the world. So can we look into ourselves? Are there times that we are looking, smelling, dressing, sounding like the world? Or are we a distinct, shining bright light? Blameless, innocent, child of God. Blameless, no legitimate accusation from Satan. As Roman chapter 8, verses 29 and preceding, Paul says that who could bring any charge to the elect? There is none. That is your identity. That is my identity. That we are innocent in the sight of God, and that we are children of God, that we belong to the family of God, not to the family of darkness and Satan. And so that we must show resemblance to reflect that spiritual truth, that the life of Christ is in you and it is in us. So is your speech, is your way of dealing with your office mates, with your parents, with your family, your children, is something that is distinct and can be said that it is not the world. It is the light of Christ that is shining in that person. Does your life look like or noticeably different from the world? Or it is hard for anyone or someone to see we are different from the world. Darkness doesn't overcome the light. In every room, if there is darkness, when light comes in, it changes everything. And that is who we are. In stark contrast, it reveals our blamelessness, our innocence, our being children of God. Yet another thing that we could look into and answers the question, how do believers comes or becomes shining light in this dark and fallen world? Shining or having a lifestyle of obedience, lifestyle distinct to the world, and lastly, would be a lifestyle holding fast to the word of God or to the word of the Lord. This now is an attitude towards self and others. As Paul continues in verse 16, holding fast to the word of life. And I think that is the key phrase of verses 16, 17, and 18. Holding fast to the word of life, even if, like Paul says, I am being poured out as a drink offering, I still rejoice. Paul shows how the light stays bright. That's why even in the early verses of chapter 1, we say that he is willing to die for the sake of the faith of the Philippians. So first, we hold fast to the word of life, both clinging to it and holding it out to others. We are clinging it. We are clinging to it and we are holding it out to others. That the mind that shapes you is the word of God. That the life that shapes this church is the word of God. That the word that shapes everything that is ongoing in this church is the word of God. How do we worship? How do we do ministry? How do we encourage each other? How do we live this life outside of this four walls of the church? It is the word of God, holding fast to the word of life. As the psalmist called it, it is a perfect word. It is a restoring word. It prevents us from sinning against God. So we could imagine a lighthouse doesn't move with the waves, right? So a lighthouse is just right there. But the ships are safe because of the lighthouse that is fixed, that guides them through the dark waters of the sea or to even turbulent seas in season. So the word, holding fast to the word of life, is like holding on to the lighthouse of our lives. So when Christian loses or loosen the grip on the scripture, our lives become unclear. anything and everything would come in and really confuse, mud. And at the end, you would not even see and recognize if we are people of the Word, if we are people who are being shaped by the Word of God. Psalms 119, verse 105 says, God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. John chapter 1, verse 4, 5, and says, the light shines in darkness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and 17 says, Scripture equips for every good work. It equips the man of God to work. Then Paul speaks of sacrifice, his life of being poured out, yet he rejoices. I don't think if there's anything that could really encourage us and make us rejoice in this world other than the word of the Lord. When you're down and out, when you're almost spent in your life, there is nothing compares to the word of the Lord. And that is why he rejoices in the promises of God's word. Joy flows from the comfort. Joy flows not from comfort, but from purpose. So joy is something that is or transcends the physical condition that we have, that claims and hold on to the truth of God. And that the purposes even of our challenges in life, difficulties in life, would bring us to the ultimate rejoicing and joy in this life. Remember your mom, remember your wife. When she was laboring, it was all good for her to labor just to give birth. He doesn't resent sleepless night after you were born. When you were sick, he doesn't care if he would be sleepless at night. But sacrifice, that kind of sacrifice, feels different when love for the child, as God's love for us, shown in his word, give its meaning. So it is a lifestyle that really holds fast to the word. Yes, sometimes we have the energy to just really smile within the storms of life, but it is a limited capacity that we could do. We should always start dealing with our own selves and with others, holding fast to the word of life, so that when we are called to pour out our lives, to sacrifice our time, our treasure, and our talent for others, it would be a light obedience to the Lord that could happen into our hearts. It would be a light love that exudes and outworks in the life of the church. And so we can enjoy the gladness of obeying the Lord. We can enjoy the gladness of doing good things for a brother or a sister. And we could rejoice with them as the Lord sustains them in the life. So are we anchored? Are we anchored on God's word, or are we drifting with the culture? I think that is a good question for us to do. Are we anchored in God's word while we are in the church? Yet different while we are in school. Yet different while we are at work. Yet different while we are not with our brothers and sisters. Are you preserving your life with the truthfulness of the promise of his word? Or because of the promises of God's word, you are ready to pour out your life for Christ and for the people of the Lord? Of course, the world could not explain this kind of joy. It is only us who can really understand this kind of joy. But they notice it. Surely the world will notice it. So Paul teaches us that living as shining lights is not accidental. It is a lifestyle that finds its roots in what Christ has done and relies in the power, the protection, and the promises of God in his spirit and in his word. So we are called to live out as shining lights. We live out to be obedient. It is a work. It is our own responsibility. It is an active call. We have to do it now. We have to be different from this world. And we have to hold firm on God's word. The church is all too different compared to the world. The world is in darkness. And that world outside there needs light. And God has placed you exactly where he wants you to light and to shine in this life. As he said, among you, among whom you shine as lights in the world. For us believers, we rely on the power and grace of God. Reminded to do that in trembling. And reminding us to be aware of the character of God. For us who are just hearing this, yes, the world needs the light that comes from the Lord. Why? Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because it is said that God is holy and we are not. And so everything that exudes in this life, apart from the grace of Christ, is sin against God. And if you don't have the light of Christ, and if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you don't have this light. You don't have this bright light that shines obedience, shines different, all too different from this world. And this light that shines all hanging and betting everything on the word of the Lord. We all are sinners before God. And we are thankful that we have been found by the grace of the Lord. But if you think that you have been believing Jesus Christ, the Lord is all too powerful, loving and gracious for you to be forgiven of your sin. In his goodness, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us to be forgiven of our sins. And that we need to do is to believe in what he has done, who he is, and what he has done for our sake, so that we could enjoy this light, bright light that comes from him, and that it overflows to this dark and fallen world. May we be encouraged that the one who works in you with all of our weaknesses, fellow Christians, fellow believers, it is God who empowers you. So it will be successful. It would be good. It would end up in glory. But for you who doesn't have Christ, you need the light. You need the light of Christ to have this life that is given to those who believe in his name. Let us pray. You are the light of the world, Lord. And apart from you, and if not for your grace, we would be still living in the darkness of our sinfulness. We would not know you. We would not understand the goodness that comes from you. We would not see the holiness of your being. We would not see the wretchedness of our sins. And so, Lord, we thank you for that great light that you have given to us. That light that you have graciously, sheer mercy that you have bestowed upon our lives. Not by our goodness, not by our own good works and ability, Lord, but by sheer grace alone. But at the same time, Lord, we hold on to your command that we would and that we are saved for good works, that we are living in this fallen world, in this crooked world, Lord, to live as lights, lights who are getting our lights from you, who are reflecting the light of your Son. That people would see us and that people would see your glory being beautiful and good for us, O Lord. We thank you and we commit this to you as you call us today, Lord. Give us grace to obey. Give us grace, Lord, to not be judgmental of the world, but be gracious and merciful. But at the same time, do not yield to any of its temptation. And in any season of our life, may it be in good, in rejoicing, or in pain, we would be able to say, rejoice with them who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn because of your good word. Thank you, Lord God. We commit this everything to you. And as we go back into the world, let this be, Lord God, our battle cry. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us all stand for a closing song. That is a wonderful encouragement till he returns and we comes home. The power of Christ be with us. Receive this good word from the Lord, taken from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 to 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now unto him.
To you.